Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Glad that you are here. We love our YouTube audience. We love our podcast audience. We love our those of you who come in person. Really appreciate you. And our series this month is Free Your Mind and the Rest Will Follow, Healthy Thinking and Prospering as Your Soul Prospers. I want to refer to this verse of Scripture. It's one of my favorites. I post it periodically. I've taught on it extensively. I want to go back and look at it one more time in a couple of different translations. Philippians, the letter to the Philippians was pretty much Paul's thank you letter for an offering that they had sent him. And there's not all the doctrine that you see in the Ephesian letter and some of those other letters. Each of the letters are different. That's why it's important to understand some context and some backstory. Like when Paul wrote to the Galatians, he was clearly irritated. You know, he was mad at them because they had liberty, but then they went back under the law, and he was kind of cussing them out a little bit. The Philippians is a much more cordial tone. It's, you know, thank you for your generosity. Chapter 4 is really one of the most familiar ones. Chapter 4 is where we get, verse 4 is rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Verse 13 is probably the most famous, is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Verse 19 is but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What I want to look at is verse 8, and what I want to especially focus on is that after he had written the major body of the letter, there's only four chapters in Philippians, and so he didn't initially write it in chapters. You know, there was a French monk who cut the Bible up into chapters and verses, and I appreciate the chapters and verses because it helps us locate things, but I think sometimes they break the flow of context. We don't really understand what's being said. The reason I'm saying this is that what we call chapter 1, 2, and 3 of Philippians is the body of the letter. And in verse, what we know of as verse 4 of chapter 4, he uses the word finally. In the King James, it's finally, my brethren. And I want to emphasize that word today because the point is all the doctrine in the world, all the prayer in the world, all the spirituality in the world, none of it's going to help you until you get your thinking right. Jesus could come in bodily form and move into your house and sleep in the bedroom with you. If you don't get your thinking right, nothing's going to change in your life. Well, God can change you. You know, your thinking changes you. And that's why he says, finally, my brethren, whatever things are just, pure, et cetera, et cetera. He's saying, after everything I've told you theologically, the bottom line is your thoughts are higher than your theology. Doctrine, is it important? Yeah, doctrine is important. Not as important as thoughts. I would even go so far as to say words are important, but not as important as thoughts. Once you put a thought into a word, yes, it takes on a life of its own, but really the wheel in the middle of the wheel is what you're thinking all the time. Because you can make somebody say something under duress that they don't really mean. You can talk to people who, over the years, I've had so many people lie to me in counseling appointments, me knowing what the real deal was. They sit there and lie, and I'm like, look, I'm not going to judge you, but I can't help you if you just don't tell me what's really going on, and I already know what's going on. And I'm not trying to out you or uncover you or expose you. I'm just saying I'm a safe place within the confines of this conversation. Just tell me the truth, because you're saying all the right stuff, but your thoughts are work. Your thoughts are counterproductive. Let me show this to you in the. This is the Passion Translation. This is a relatively new translation to me, but I so far I really, really like it. And here's how he says it in the Passion. It says, "So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real." Let me say that again. Keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real. How many people go through their lives believing something about the world or about themselves or about their family or about whatever that's not authentic? I've used this analogy before, and I know Gone with the Wind is politically incorrect, but it will make my point. The whole arc of the story is that Scarlett is in love with, she's married to Rhett Butler, but she's in love with Ashley Wilkes. And this whole thing, you know, she's had this delusion that he really loves her and not his wife, Melanie. And at the end of the movie, when Melanie dies, I mean, this movie came out in 1939, so I can probably give you a spoiler alert at this point. When she dies and Ashley is just distraught, she looks at him and she goes, "Oh, you really do love her." So she says, "So all these years, I've believed something that's not even real." And I'm like, duh, you got freaking Clark Gable at home and you're over here obsessing over Leslie Howard? What's wrong with you? But then she has this moment of clarity and she runs home, but it's too late. He's over it. And that's when he says, "Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn." And that, you know, he moves on. And there's a lot of movies that are like that. At the end of Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, you know, where she, the whole premise of the movie is she thinks that Betty Davis's character thinks that she's the one that crippled her sister. But at the end, you know, this Joan Crawford's character is dying, and she says, "I need to tell you, you didn't do it, Jane." And like, it's the truth is too much, you know, and Betty Davis goes, "Stop." And, you know, I do that sometimes when somebody's telling me something I don't want to hear. I'm like, "Stop." But then, Avery, if you're watching, that's what I do when Avery tells me stuff I should do about my taxes. I'm like, "Stop, I don't want to talk about it." Anyway, but there's this very poignant line where Jane looks at Blanche and she goes, "So you mean all this time we could have been friends?" It's a really sad commentary on people who go through their own life believing something that's just not true. So I love this, that he says, keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. Then I want to show it to you in the Message Bible. I've showed it to you before, but I want to show it again. Philippians 4:8. It says, summing it all up, friends, the same way of saying finally, summing it all up, friends, I say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. That's a piece of advice that probably every one of us could stand to hear every few days, because we live in a world that's constantly wanting to pull us into its negative vortex. Social media has amped that up, to where there's so much negativity, so much strife, so much arguing, that I don't know how people live in it all day long. I don't know how they do it. I don't mind making a valid point. If it's something that's really strong, I'll stand up for it. I'm not telling anybody else what to do or not to do with their social media platform. But you can't just stay in that all day long, that just negative, combative, confrontational. It's just not good for you. It's like, I know with me, I think I've met my quota of confrontation. I could tell somebody was trying to start something with me the other day. I could just tell they were just at me on some of my quotes, And I wanted to say, this is somebody I watched grow up in the church. I wanted to say, you know, you're like a son to me. If you think you're going to get me into a fight with you over politics, you're sadly mistaken. I mean, I'm not even going to go there with you. I know what, believe me, I see all of your other posts. I know what you believe. If you're trying to get me in on that fight, you're the wrong guy. Scroll down and look at my pretty pictures. Bishop, are you afraid? Oh, hell no. I'm not afraid. I'll say what I need to say. But I also know that if you just argue about everything, then when there really does come something that needs some attention, you lose the impact of it. Because after a while, you become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. If it's always a rant, if it's always confrontation, if it's always argue, then when there really is something that requires you to principally stand up for, you've been defamed. It doesn't really carry an impact. So you have to choose your battles. I'm not telling you shouldn't stand up for stuff. And I admire the people that get in the fray. I'm like, well, more power to you. That's cool. I don't have the stomach for it. I gotta breathe and say my stuff and then move on. But I like this idea that at the end of the doctrine, at the end of the philosophy, at the end of the theology, what really matters is how you think. I'm going to tell you, if you think the world's out to get you, guess what? The world's going to be out to get you. Two or three times this week, I've just been in and out of this zone. Like, there was one day this week that it's like every thought I had, the universe accommodated me on it. Like, I was going to work out, and I was meeting my trainer at another place, and I was running late, and I thought, I want to go inside and get a coffee in there. I thought, I need about 10 extra minutes. As soon as I had the thought, he says, we're running about 10 minutes late. Okay, good. And the whole day was like that. Like, anytime I was nearly anxious about something, I would think about it, and the situation would be resolved. Now, you could say, oh, well, that's just coincidental. Well, fine, if that's the way you want to think. It's just that every time I would think, oh, this would be better if this would happen, then that would happen. And I think that there's an art to it. I think the more you, that's why we've talked about intuition a lot lately. And thanks for reminding me about the painting. That made me feel really good. But it's important to be intuitive about where you drive and where you go to eat and what you do. All those decisions, I don't think it just has to be, which, by the way, Eddie, I loved your post about the devil last night, because you're exactly right. If you believe in that, if you believe in spiritual warfare like that, you do create it. I'm telling you. You create it. So is the devil real? Yeah. If you're in that mode, you will create the adversary, which is what the word devil means. Right. Exactly. Precisely. Even if you believe literal fallen angel out of heaven, if you believe all of that, then I'll give you John 12. Jesus says, well, now the god of this world is cast down. This idea that we're in this constant battle with the forces of darkness, that's in people's minds. I'm not saying there's not good and evil, but the manifestation of evil is what people think about things. Evil thoughts create evil. I just have two other things to show you, and then we're going to meditate. Some of you might be familiar with this guy. They made a movie about him. I just like this quote. It's simple, but he says, if you realized how powerful your thoughts are, you would never think a negative thought. And let me pull in the walking this. I was reading some quotes last night, and Friedrich Nietzsche, he said, every powerful thought is born from walking. He was talking about how just the exercise of walking put your mind in a better frame. Those of you that may deal with depression, I'm not telling you to get off your meds prematurely or whatever, but seriously, if you start feeling negative forces, push back with a walk. Go outside. Get some sun on your skin. It's not gonna give you cancer to go out for 10 minutes and get some sunshine and breathe and change your environment. Like, I know if I ever have, I rarely dream, and I rarely have a bad dream. But if I do, and you have that moment where you wake up and you're like, oh God, that was a dream that wasn't real. I will make myself get up out of bed and I'll go get a glass of water or something. I don't want to lay there in it. Do you know what I mean? It's like I've just had this real negative, dark thought in a dream, and I just don't want to buddy up to it and then roll over and go back to sleep and start dreaming it again. I might even get up and turn on the TV or something. It's like I've gotta break that current, because if I lay here, I'm gonna just keep thinking about what I just dreamt, and I don't want to exalt that. And then one last thing, James Allen, who wrote As a Man Thinketh, it says, the man who sows wrong thoughts and deeds and prays that God will bless him is in the position of a farmer who, having sown tares, asks God to bring forth for him a harvest of wheat. That which you sow, you reap. Now, let me tell you something. That's a very matter-of-fact quote, but that's it right there. Thank God for prayer chains and prayer whatever. I like BJ having an issue yesterday. And he said that he wrote on, he's having a physical issue. He said, this is an experiment in agreement. And I like that. That was like, it worked. I see a lot of people asking for prayer, which this is one thing that always, I don't know what to make of this, and I've seen it several times this week in my Facebook feed, calling all prayer warriors. Why do they call it prayer warriors? What are you? But I can understand if you think you're fighting demons, like casting out demons isn't prayer. Prayer is supposed to be talking to God. So how are you like, our Father who art in heaven? I mean, what are you like, prayer warrior? Like, I don't get it. Like, what are you? It's just one of those bogus things that people say. I think what they really mean is pray fervently. But how else do you, how else do you? Right. It's like, I love Kevin James, the guy that was on King of Queens. And he did a stand-up years ago. He's got a current one now on Netflix, but the one he did years ago called Sweat the Small Stuff is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And he's talking about seeing a movie with his girlfriend, and she's already seen the movie. And so he's sitting there, and she's like, watch this part. And he's like, okay. He's like, no, watch this part. And he's like, I'm watching. No, really watch. And he's like, I'm like trying to, like, how do I really watch? I'm looking at the screen. And that's what I think people are about prayer sometimes. Like, no, really pray. Like, what do you think? If you ask me for my agreement and I say I'm in agreement with you, I can't think of anything more powerful than that. I could speak in tongues real loud, like, I'm in agreement. I don't know. I'm not sure. I think maybe what people are saying is that grasp the severity of it. But it's going to take the same amount of, I don't know why I'm referring to so many movies, but Luke Skywalker could levitate the rocks, but he couldn't levitate his spaceship, and Yoda says the difference is all in your mind. So, I hope you don't get something life-threatening, but, I'm going to pray the same way. It's the same, it's the words and the connection that we have, whatever. And I like this that he says, that's fine that you want to pray for God to bless you, but God can't supersede your thoughts. And I know this is true. It's such a kind of benign statement that it's easy to miss the profundity of that, because there's so many people who are just totally living in this God zone. I want God to fix it. God, you know, God this, God that. And you know, we joke about it. Sometimes when something good happens, we'll say, won't he do it or whatever. And I'm all for giving God the praise. But you should, on the heels of that, say, won't I do it? Because it's how I'm thinking that's going to determine how this thing plays out. And let me tell you something. Jesus spent time with his disciples. It didn't change all of their thinking. So if you're thinking that, well, I had this great experience with God, and it's going to change the way I think, not necessarily. I mean, I grew up in a world where people were very emotional, and they'd come to the altar and pray, but they didn't necessarily change. They might have vented emotionally. They might have felt really bad about what they are going through or whatever. But until you change how you think about your situation, all the prayer in the world's not going to fix it. It's just not. And I think it's like this Christian urban legend. Like, well, just give it to God. Well, no, you have to change how you think about it. And that may require some effort. I do believe this, and I've taught this earlier this year. I do believe, it doesn't happen overnight. I do think you can change your brain chemistry to be proactive. It takes some effort. But you can get to the point, and people who are negative think you're just being a Pollyanna or something, but it's not. It's you're like, if you're going through something and I text you believing for the best, I really mean that. That's the highest thing I can say to you. And I'm not always sure exactly what the best will be. But what it says, what I mean by that is the best possible outcome for this situation, that's what I'm believing for. And I'm not going to be arrogant enough to say that I know what that is. I might know. I might have some ideas, but when I say believing for the best, I mean I'm proactive to say that you're going to get through this. If I tell you this too shall pass, I really do believe this is temporary, and I'm sure it's painful or it's difficult or it's uncomfortable, whatever, but you will get through it. I mean, something as simple as somehow I cut my thumb the other day. And you know, it's just, you don't realize how much you use your thumb until you're hit. And it didn't stop me from, I mean, I went through my day, but every time I was like, good Lord, what did I do? How did I do that? It was just that little place where it just hurt. But then I thought, well, it'll pass. It'll heal. And it did. I mean, if I do that, it's a little sore, but it's not painful. And it's just, I know it's a cut on my thumb, but it's like, that's the way everything is. It's like, well, it's going to hurt for a couple of days, and then it'll be fine, and I'll move on. You have to think that way. And I could tell you, I wasted a lot of time praying for people that didn't think right. Because I could tell after the prayer, their conversation showed me that nothing had changed about their thinking. You know why I put the emphasis all on teaching now? And I do have music, but it's all about teaching. You know why I'm not saying I'll never do it again, but the reason I don't lay hands on people or whatever, I did that for so many years, and I saw very little change. I didn't see enough significant change. Now I think, if I can't change the way that you think, I can anoint you with oil and pray for you until you're greasy. It's not going to change you. Now, sometimes a prayer can change the way that you think. I will give it that. There, I have been prayed for by some people that I felt different about the situation after they prayed because either I had respect for them or I believed that they were genuinely in agreement. And their prayer did change my thought pattern. So I'm not throwing prayer out. I'm saying that people throw it around a lot and it's kind of meaningless. A lot of times when people ask for prayer, they're really asking for sympathy. They're really, and there's nothing wrong. Look, if you're going through something, there's nothing wrong with wanting somebody to share in your human experience. That's not necessarily a negative thing. You just have to learn how to communicate it without letting it work against you. That's why I say be careful what you post online, because it takes on a life of its own. If you're in pain or you're sick or you're depressed or whatever, a cry for help is one thing. And if you need it, reach out for it. But be careful what you exalt, because when the internet is so powerful, when you put it out there, it's just multiplied. So we all need a human connection. If you need your connection, get it. But then don't stay in that. You need to say, all right, thank you for reaching out, and now I'm okay now. I'm better now. And give your testimony. I appreciated Ray posted, was it been two, how many years has it been now? You posted about your, yeah. Because you just recently passed the anniversary of it, right? And he had posted, well, that's not negative. That's positive. That's like, oh, wow, half a decade has come and gone. That's great. Patrick posted when I reshared it a similar thing. That's good. That's saying I'm exalting health. I'm exalting, you know, the new lease on life that it gave me, whatever. That I can agree with. Somebody just saying, I don't feel good today. And do you notice how much people do it? I mean, I'll scroll down and it's like, ugh, I feel like crap today. Like, okay, well, I'm in agreement with you then that you feel like crap. I mean, I guess that's why you put it out there, for my agreement. Like, okay, I got you. Believing for the crappiest, you know. Like, hope you have the crappiest outcome you possibly can have. I told you, he's in Europe, I don't think you'll see this, but I told you about one time we'd gone up to my friend Howie's place, and he was, just when I got there, I walked in and he was dealing with something with his refrigerator was broken. He's not there all the time at his cabin. I walked in, I said, what's going on? He said, every time I come up here, something goes wrong with the house. I said, well, stop saying every time I come up here. And, you know, he's like my brother. He said, don't you come in here with that Kenneth Copeland stuff. We were like, you know, we got into it immediately. Ken walked in. He said, what happened? I said, well, I've been here 2 minutes and we're in a fight. And I said, fine. I set myself an agreement that every time you come up to this cabin, something horrible will happen. Okay? Does that make you happy? Next time we're up there, we're backing out of the driveway that he's backed out of 10 million times. He smashes into a tree, breaks the window out, gives us all whiplash, and I'm like, I think it's time for us to agree for something different. Let's start saying, every time we come up here, something wonderful happens. How about that? And ever since then, when I say, let's watch our words, he's like, I got you. We're right. It's all good. Because those words like every and this always happens, or you always, or you never, those, you're constantly setting your internal alarm clock. You're saying, you always do this, or this always happens, or this, things never work out for me. Like, when you're saying those kind of things, you're totally preparing your future. It's those little off-the-cuff things you say that you really deeply believe, they set the parameters for your life. Not those things that people get you to say when you're, you know, if I've got you repeating after me. That might make you feel better, but what you really, you'll know what you really believe is when you go to the mailbox tomorrow and there's a bill that you didn't expect coming. What's the first thing that comes out of your mouth? That's what you really believe. And that's how you define integrity. Integrity is what you do when nobody else is around to see that you're on your best behavior. And we all have those frustrating days. I mean, you know, this morning a couple things happened where I was in a hurry and I dropped something and I closed the drawer and something exploded. And I was like, seriously? It wasn't big enough for it to ruin the morning, but I was like, you know, next time, start earlier and you won't be slamming stuff around here unnecessarily, breaking stuff and making a mess that you got to go back after Metron to clean up today. So I know what it's like to just be like, oh, really? Are you really this morning you're doing this? But that's because I was in a hurry. Couldn't decide what I wanted to wear. That wasn't the devil. That was... Now, you know what I did say this morning when I was a little, when I was not stressed, I was stressed adjacent. It's because my closet's all torn up and I got stuff everywhere. That's why. And I said to myself this morning, this is why you get your clothes together on Saturday night, so that you don't do this on Sunday morning. You know about this. Oh, thou fashioned devil, yay. But that was on me. That's because I went to bed last night and had no clue what I was going to wear this morning, and I was going to come in jeans. I thought, no, I'm dedicating a baby. I better dress up a little. And I should have planned more. Fortunately, it came together. But it was a little stressful there for a minute. Let's meditate on this for a minute. If we can bring the lights down. If you're new among us, don't be uncomfortable with meditation. If you want to leave, you can, but I prefer you all stay. Wherever my magic candle is. If you're here, if you'll put both feet on the floor. Did you get anything out of this today? Did you get anything out of this teaching? Did you need it? Well, I want you to meditate it. Part of the meditation we're doing this month is to get us in the flow for St. Simon's. Actually, I would like that. Keith actually would like that fan now. Thanks. Let's put both feet on the floor. If you can clear your lap. Thank you. That's my magic trick. Does it work for you? Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. You can do a mudra if you want to, or just put palms up. But it's important that you empty your lap and just keep a flow. And sit up as straight as you can. Go ahead, Charles, if you'll start some music. And we're going to concentrate on our breathing. We're going to breathe in through our nose. Hold it. And then we're going to exhale through our mouth. So inhale. Exhale. Sit up straight. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Hold it. Exhale. Inhale. Hold it. Exhale. Just stay conscious of your breath, of your breathing. Let's come into a place of peace. Let's come into a place of tranquility. Positive words have been spoken here today. Just let them wash over you. The scripture says the entrance of his words give light. Let the light that's on these words permeate your being. Let the music take you to a relaxed state. In your breathing, in through the nose, out through the mouth, in through the nose, out through the mouth, inhale, exhale. Just stay right where you are. Just play a little something more. We might not do a full one again, but let's just. This music doesn't have quite as much rhythm in it, so find a different vibration, a different energy. Both are important. This one's a little more free-flowing. You can breathe with it, though. Say yes. all stand. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Charles, let's play the ending for the YouTube audience, and then I'll speak a blessing over. Did you get anything out of this today? Man, that meditation was like a soul massage, wasn't it?
Contributing to Metron is quick and easy.
Good stuff.
Simply text the amount you would like to give to 404-620-5044. And now you can give anytime by texting this number. You will then receive a one-time registration form that links your phone number and opens your account at SimpleGive. Complete the form, and you will then receive a successful registration and donation page. For additional information on your account, visit missionthenow.com and click the Support tab. Then, My Online Donation. When you contribute to Metron, you're also supporting the charity or organization of the month.
If you have a check, make it to JESM. Danny will receive it.
Thank you for your investment in Metron.
If you have cash, pay it forward. You might want to bless somebody here. You might want to bless Alex. You're beautiful. You're significant. Your life matters. You're well. You're whole. You have nothing to be ashamed of. You have nothing to fear. You don't have to live in regret. You don't have to live in anxiety. You're fearless, you're strong, you're able, you're mighty, you're powerful, you have hope, you have a vision, you have a reason to live, you have things to look forward to, you're going to have a beautiful week, you're going to have a beautiful day, and you're going to wake up tomorrow saying, this is the day the Lord has enabled me to make. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Love you. See you next week.